The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Yes, this is the second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, Lord Steve Elkins, sitting in for John Stadmiller today. Today's date is October 14th, 2019. I am on the phone with Dr. Kelly in Northern California. Dr. Kelly, I'm sorry to tell you this, but you can't leave right away. I've got people online here that want to talk to you. So if you don't mind,
okay.
Please.
And I wanted to point out an odd correlation, too, is there's okay. A wonderful radio talk show host on FM 99.1. It's Fox News. And I wanted to get this information on her show today. And she was out ill today. And I noticed that John Stadmiller was out ill, and I had to step it up, and I was kind of in a weird way under the weather, kind of grieving over the loss of life that no doubt will never make it into the public arena, and boy, we do need lots of praying people here in California, and I hope we can get a few more. So.
Yeah,
I'll stick around, and I'm here if you need me in the background.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I do want to ask you to please send over that article. We talked about the mass casualty in South Lake Tahoe. Send that over to Mike, the board op here, and we can post that, because I definitely want that on the website.
Oh, and the thing is, since I don't have or use any of that anymore, I'm limited to facsimile. And so
okay.
Colonel Brian Hunt, who's the state commander, just recently got set up with a fax machine, and he may be able to email it in, or I'm just hoping that someone will volunteer a facsimile service and maybe run it up to the studio, or, you know, support us in our endeavors to get this information out in a secure, dependable, reliable manner, which is facsimile.
Okay, we'll figure that when we get off here. I want you to hang on with Mike. We'll figure out how we can get this document, because I definitely want to like to put this on the website. We go back to the phones here. We got Tom in Florida. You're on with Dr. Kelly.
Yes, hello, Steve. How are you, Dr. Kelly?
I'm doing great.
I want to talk to you about what you're talking about, the redneck thing, in a minute, about Florida.
Okay.
I know you say you're
sure.
In Central Florida. I can tell you all about the Florida crackers. That's what we used to be called here in Florida.
Yep.
It's like
okay.
A bad word, too, now. But getting back to Dr. Kelly, you got 7 million illegals in the state of California. I was wondering, does Mexico have blackouts? Does Mexico go through the same thing that you're going through over there in Northern California?
I don't know. I used to go surfing down there all the time, and I saw people piling on top of each other to run over the wall and cross across the highway all haphazard, and that was in the 70s and 80s. And I'm not sure. I didn't invite any of them here. And so this is on our former governor, Jerry Brown, putting out the big invitation, and his buddy, Barack Hussein Obama. And it's my prayer that either, you know, I don't know if the earth can open up and swallow everybody and their goods like they did the Khorusites, but... you know, I'm all for beaming them home, Scotty, or maybe they'll get raptured home or something cool.
Okay.
You know?
Well, Well, Dr. Kelly, nobody's saying you brought them here. I know you didn't probably want them here, but they're here. In your state of California, which used to be called the land of milk and honey with the big billboards they had all over Southern California, they had billboards. Now, it's the land of freebies, give me this, give me that. What I'm trying to say to you is you got 7 million illegals into that state. You got white Americans fleeing the state in droves. I believe it's over 4,000 a day that are actually leaving the state. Now, if that continues on, is this all by design, by the schwein, to have, like, blackouts and all that? I mean, what is the real reason? I mean, in Southern California, you can't even waste water over there, okay? Water is taboo to waste. Now, you're saying up in there
now
in
they're wasting it up there in Truckee, where the radio frequency emitting smart meters on the water utility, the batteries have failed after 5 years, and they're warranted for 10 years. So who knows how much water they're using up there in Truckee? Nobody does.
Well,
so it is a planned collapse, and it's a very bad plan, and it needs to be repaired. I hear you.
Well, Dr. Kelly, listen, you got a state. I used to go out there all the time. California's probably the most beautiful state in the country. But when I was out there, it was gorgeous, like I told you. But now I went out there, the last time I was out there in 2012, I won't ever go back to the state because it's insane. Okay, my point is this. You have a lot of white liberal trash, I call them, that have sold that state right out, okay? They want to take the guns. Now you're having blackouts. You're having all these fires in the water. I mean, but, you know, and eventually California will be Mexifornia. Because they're going to reclaim that state by the millions, okay? And what I want to talk to Steve about also here in South Florida, these people are not coming here to speak English. They want to keep their own Hispanic culture. No other group came to this country allowed to do that. The Germans were not allowed to do that. There's over 100 million Germans. They're not speaking German here. They're not speaking Italian. They're not speaking Polish. They're not speaking Swedish. They're not speaking Danish. They're speaking Spanish. They're with all these TV stations, radio stations. California's flooded with them. I was out there. I'm like, I told my brother, what is this? Where are we? The same as South Florida.
Yeah, and in the Voters Information Guide, too, they have the whole section on all the different foreign languages before they even address the accessibility options for the elderly, and that's the criminal usurper as Secretary of State right now, Alex Padilla's fine work, and it has trickled down to the counties, and all those things need to be dealt with, but the most important thing...
Dr. Kelly, that's my point. That's my point. Let's not kid ourselves.
And thanks for your comments.
The ones that allowed this are the white Americans. They've allowed their country to be over-invaded, okay? That's what's going on. As far as Steve wants to talk about Florida, I would like to talk to him about... Steve, are you there?
Steve? Yeah, hey, I got other calls lining up here, Tom, so I really don't want to go into the political correctness of the redneck
comment,
thing.
Steve. I want to make
a quick
comment.
We'll do that under the time.
There's blackouts in California, but there's not in Mexico. Something strange going on here. Suppose we was the richest state. It was the 13th largest economy in the world at one time, back in the 90s.
Right.
No more, Steve.
Yep. No, I know.
It's a joke.
Yeah.
It's an
the money was
joke.
In Silicon Valley, and it went out a ways, and now it's the state is broke. The state of California is broke. It's broke.
Well, Steve, it's because of a bunch of lily white liberal white trash. Exactly what it is. Tell
like
the truth.
Bro said, you know, it's that.
Thanks,
sucking.
Tom. Tom, got to move on here. Call for Dr. Kelly, Larkin, Texas. You're on.
Hi there, Steve.
Lark, are you there?
Quick question.
Hey, Lark.
Quick question and a comment.
Yeah.
First of all, Dr. Kelly, will you spell the name of the gentleman in Richardson so I can search it?
Oh, sure. It's the United States of America versus Jordan, Jordan, and the former name is Maxka, and I don't have the document in front of me, but I think it was Maczka, and that was the mayor of Richardson, Texas. That indictment is from May of 2018, and I remember the word Sherman in the document, and I did cover that on the Grand Jury Reawakening. It should be archived for Saturday. Quite a few months ago, and it should be up on the notes and the liner. And that was a 7-count federal indictment sealed.
Yeah, and now that you spelled the name, I am familiar with the case because, of course, I live here in Richardson. And Coincidentally, I have a niece that lives in Santa Rosa, so I'm quite familiar with Santa Rosa as well. For whatever it's worth to the two of you and the listeners, you may recall Michael Shaw, the attorney in California, who talks about Agenda 21 and land use policies and land use rights. He and his wife are quite active because, of course, they've been denied the use of their own private property to build, to do anything, even though this property was originally zoned to accommodate up to 12 homes. And, of course, that's what he does. He's a developer. And he's quite fastidious about the way he treats the land. He loves this particular piece of land so much that he cleared out all the non-native invasive species from it at a considerable expense. The website is freedomadvocates.org. Freedomadvocates.org. And if you click on radio, previous shows, there was a debate on Agenda 21 dated June 1st, 2013, easily found. Debate on Agenda 21, 6-1-2013. And he debated, him and his wife debated the owner of this particular AM radio station in which he was being interviewed. And I think you'll find it very interesting because at the end of the day, what we're talking about is the doing away with property rights. And that's what's happening. You can call it any word you want. You know, I know it as communitarianism and communitarian law. You know, you're welcome to investigate it or not. But
yeah, that kind of brings to mind, there's a case, Sackett, S-A-C-K-E, maybe one or two T's, versus the EPA, or Environmental Protection Agency. And that's one of the cases that I'm familiar with that I've actually read. And you might want to check it out because it does cover those topics.
By the way, the former mayor that you were describing in Richardson, Texas, and the developer that she married named Jordan, they're both in jail.
Yeah, I would like to also get a copy of the actual trial by jury where the state attorney general then charges with crimes against the peace and the dignity of the state. And I think that went to trial around the end of January or February earlier this year. And I'd love to read that document. If someone could mail it to me, I would be really appreciative. Or if someone could fax it to me, I would use my own ink and paper. And thank you for bringing that up. And I'm glad to hear that there was a victory in Texas. We all need to be modeled
For whatever it's worth to you all, what we're witnessing today is the superimposition of communitarian law upon domestic and foreign policy decisions, as well as it's in our courts, it's in our law enforcement. It's, the listeners are welcome to just do a search, communitarianism, first things first. And then you'll see something also, do a search, Lark on communitarianism. And they're both published exclusively at RBN. So thanks for taking my call and answering my question.
Thank you. That was
appreciate
a great
it, Lark. Thanks. Dr. Kelly, unless you have any more parting words, I'm okay if you want to take off or you want to hang out the rest of the show. That's cool with me, too. It's up to you.
Oh, I'd be happy to ride shotgun, whatever you think is best. And thank you so much for covering this super critical topic. I really appreciate you sharing the time. And, that's good news that they did finally, they need to leave in handcuffs. And let that be a beacon and a warning to those of you who have usurped your office of the public trust that there is going to be justice. It might not be swift, but it'll definitely be sure. You can be sure it's coming.
I'm going back to this Jade Helm, or Jade Helmet, what you called it, Jade Helm 12. It was interesting to know that the United Nations, of course, initiated this whole program, this agenda, with the association or, you know, cooperation with the United States on this. And I remember the trains coming through the towns, and people were posting these videos of all the heavy equipment coming through, the military assault vehicles. And it was understood that the reason that the United Nations, this is a United Nations program agenda, is because United Nations soldiers can fire on U.S. citizens without a thought. American soldiers may hesitate. This is going to be interesting if law enforcement or our own military, in a situation of martial law or national emergency, would they fire on their own citizens? And that's what I'm kind of concerned about. Will they uphold the Constitution? I'm not so certain they will. Law enforcement hasn't. They drop the ball all the time on that. As far as Fourth Amendment rights and legal search and seizures and everything you can think of, there always seem to be bending and twisting the laws, the amendments themselves. So I'm kind of, like I said, putting the puzzle together here. The new legislation Donald Trump signed, Marines on our streets, understanding we had Jade Helm a couple years ago. You're talking about mass casualty in South Lake Tahoe. Other cities are actually having their little planning, their little military drills. Also, we always know, Dr. Kelly, that just like the World Trade Center being bombed, 9/11, there was a training exercise going on. And it always seems to be that these training exercises always seem to be happening at the same time a real disaster happens. And so that has me wondering also, will something really, really happen? Are we looking at another big false flag coming in the future here? I think we are. Whether it's a diversion away from Donald Trump's problems in government and Ukraine gate and Russia gate and all his other problems, or is it for an economic collapse to give excuse for an economic collapse? There's probably many reasons why we would have another false flag, a major one, to divert attention away from what we should be focusing on. We're not going to now, because we are going to focus on the boogeyman terrorism.
Oh, I love the way that your mind works, and I was actually just looking at some photographs when I was 14 or 15. I was an assistant scuba instructor, and I was diving in Hawaii with not one Navy SEAL, but two. And so I'm just, you know, I'm going to hope and pray that these good men and women that are serving in any of the armed forces, that they will uphold and protect and defend the real people and uphold their oath to serve the people, and that they swore that oath before the eternal righteous judge, the creator of this wonderful universe.
I hope so too. I really do. That worries me. Will people just do it for the paycheck because they're told to? You know, there's Dr. Kelly, we've seen, this is not just this year, it's been for years and years now, and way before Edward Snowden, way before Julian Assange, Chelsea Manning, Bradley Manning, whatever you want to call him today, the war on the whistleblower. You know, there's a reason why we have whistleblowers to out the atrocities, but for some reason there's good whistleblower and there's bad whistleblowers. And if it shames the United States government, well, then that's a bad whistleblower. We got to attack this guy. We got to destroy him. We got to ruin his life. And the hypocrisy, I remember on C-SPAN, I think it was in April, they actually celebrate once a year, Dr. Kelly, they celebrate National Whistleblower Day on a certain day in April. And I the hypocrisy of watching this and handing awards away to people who blew the whistle on really small, insignificant things, but when you blow the whistle on something really big, like a terrible war crime atrocity, that guy, we're going to go after that guy. We're going to destroy that guy. We're going to make sure that we send a message out to everybody else. If you bring out the truth and shame us, how dare you? We will destroy you. We'll be right back after that rant, 3-minute break. Dr. Kelly is on with us from Northern California. Appreciate you staying on. We'll be right back.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We're back. This is the National Intel Report. Steve Elkins sitting here for John Stadmiller. I'm on the phone with a very, very knowledgeable person, Dr. Kelly, and I believe you have another call. You're very busy today. David in Illinois, you're on the show.
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Do you have a question for Dr. Kelly?
Well, I had a statement to tell you about if you want to hear it, about those exercises from the government. Okay. You know who I am probably, so, but since when my dad worked under Department of Defense, and he moved from there to Energy and Department of Interior, they were actually going around having meetings with other departments and officers when them things were going down, and even afterwards, in advising them what the plans were going to be to deal with the American public. They were even planning on, if they had to, they would be going door to door. The thing that they had these discussions with about, if whatever they were assuming was going to take place or to prepare ahead of time, to also make sure the other federal officers and local law enforcement would do what they're told to do. And every once in a while, he would have to talk to guys because they would say, look, this is out of our scope. We're not going to do this. This is against the American people. And either you're with us and do what you're ordered to do, or you're going to be out, and it'll be your door we're kicking in too. You know, I had access to that kind of information all the way up until just the last 2 years. You know, and he is dead serious. He even said I would even kick your own door in if I had to, if I was ordered to. But they had these plans, and they would go over these plans. And to do this, they even had a place set up in a desert where Israeli tactical teams would come and train them. Right. Of, you know, they would practice shooting up mock neighborhoods if they had to. I mean, shooting everything. Yeah. So it's something that's been planned, and they know something's, you know, because every time he warned me of something was going to happen, it happened.
It happens. Right.
You know, even the 9/11 thing, it happened, you know.
Well, we knew 9/11 was going to happen with the document, the project for a new American century. We knew it was going to happen, just didn't know when. We had that new Pearl Harbor. It was in writing.
Yeah, they were originally going to take out a separate target that they caught the guys, and the director told them to let the guys go, give them back their surveillance equipment, and they were not allowed to detain them. And so they knew it was going to happen.
Sure. Yeah, and in
dancing,
El Dorado,
the dancing
County,
Israelis, right?
We used to have a good sheriff in there. Sheriff D. Agostini in El Dorado County used to be a good man that actually, you know, did his duties. And this just, you know, this just stinks to the lowest of hell. The fact that there are FBI, that there are a federal agency being involved in this, it just lights up the red flags. I mean, it is the sheriff's duty as the elected official to protect the people from any sort of federal overreach, last time I checked. And if it has to be the Marines versus the California Guard or the National Guard, you know, the good humor is that the Marines are a division of the Navy. And some men will tell you, yeah, that's the men's division. So I'm going to keep my prayers polished up, and I'm going to hope for the best.
Well, in some of these meetings that they would go around and have with other departments, because they would need local departments' assistance. They couldn't do it themselves. But they did find that some of them, and like you said, some of the sheriffs and things said, no, we're following the Constitution in my constituents. We're not going to do it. You're not going to come and take over my department and tell my guys what to do. So maybe after all that, after all this research and, you know, trying to get everybody to go along with them and try these scenarios and let things happen and see how things will play out, I guess they finally realize they're going to have the military, because there's going to be a lot of law enforcement that are not going to cooperate, local law enforcement. You know, maybe that's what they finally realized. You know, but these, you know, they had plans and drills, and these things are, you know, going to happen. So.
Yeah, and the wise people know not to be involved in a quote-unquote drill or a quote-unquote training where things can definitely go horribly wrong at an exponential rate of speed. You know, time plus opportunity equals trouble. It doesn't matter who you are.
It's just amazing that the power that they were given and they were authorized to, told they would be authorized to use, majority, especially the federal guys, they were gung-ho. They couldn't wait for something to happen. You know, and that's kind of scary.
Yeah, they need to be investigating the multiple murderers or the murder that took place at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in South Lake Tahoe. And you know, they need to utilize their time wisely, the way that the FBI worked with the Texas Rangers to indict the Laura Jordan and Mark Jordan in that federal indictment.
Well, thank you. Sorry.
Appreciate the call, David. Thank you very much. We'll be right back. This is the National Intel Report.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
OMG! People are jumping on board to the Life Change Tea Regiment. Brew, steep, and drink for a gentle, taste-great cleanse. It's changing how they feel. See what everybody's talking about. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Life Change Tea aids in digestive slowdown and helps people get moving down a healthy path. We won't make claims. We'll just let you decide. Experience is much better than a commercial anyway. If you want results, log on to GetTheTea.com and purchase your Super Strength Cleansing Tea. You won't be disappointed. And if you're looking for some mind-body suggestions, go to YouTube and punch in the search bar, Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now. Put power into your health now. So, GetTheTea.com, that's GetTheTea.com for Super Strength Tea. And YouTube, Health Matters Now. That's Health Matters Now for valuable suggestions. GetTheTea.com, the tea that makes you go.
And we're going to go right back to the phones again here. I assume it's another call for Dr. Kelly here. John in Missouri, you're on the show.
Hi there.
John, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. I was calling you. You had mentioned earlier that the UN could shoot Americans. Let's see what they do when
UN
they get
forces
shot
can.
Back.
Yeah, that's why they chose them, yes.
I know, but let's see what they do when they get shot back at. Because the Americans aren't going to stand for that.
I hope not.
And I don't even think the police would even stand.
I don't know about the police. I don't know about the police, John, because our local police here where I live, and I saw it in Santa Rosa, too, and I saw it in Windsor, California, they've been militarized. They're thinking. They're not quite what they used to be. Back when I was a kid growing up, they were a peace officer. And now
correct.
I look at these guys, and these guys look so militarized. They're militarized.
Oh, I've seen the same thing you've seen. But they also want to go home at night. And
I hope so.
I don't think the police, I think it may start, but as soon as the bullets go to the other direction, I think all that will stop.
I hope so.
I don't want to see this. I'm not saying I want to see a war or anything like that, but I just think the American people are going to stand being shot at very long. The ones I know aren't. I just wanted to make that comment.
Appreciate that, John. Thank you very much.
In the wisdom of Uncle Ted Nugent, it didn't matter what they came to take at Lexington Concord. They met their punk blanks and blew their brains out. So thank you, Uncle Ted.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, don't come and take
it. Oh, no, other calls lined up here. I'm going to go back into some economic news real quick here. What I saw this weekend, and that doesn't match up with what I'm being told. We are seeing record numbers thrown at us here. 3.3% unemployment, the lowest ever in history, which is, no, it's not possible, because I in order for me to believe it, I actually have to see it. So I walked to the malls. I've decided, I heard about the malls being dead, closed up, boarded up, not much business going on these days. And so I decided for myself to take a little trip to our mall here. We walked through the mall, and I was right. Boarded up, very vacant. And I did find people did go there to exercise, to meet other people, but essentially they were not buying. There weren't people walking around with shopping bags. So we are not at 3.3% unemployment. If we were, people, you would have disposable income. You'd see people out there shopping, buying products and services. I don't see it. What I do see a lot more of is thrift store, one after the other being built. Thrift store, people shopping at Goodwill, people shopping at Habitat for Humanity, people shopping at Salvation Army, thrift stores, mom and pops popping up everywhere. Well, that isn't happening. That should not happen with a robust, strong economy. It's not there. 3.3% is not believable. It's just not there. So I wanted to mention that. And then I do want to go into something else really interesting. I got an email from Larkin, Texas, a very sharp guy. Sends me an email, a clip. I want to talk about this guy here, a philosopher, an Austrian philosopher by the name of Ludwig Wittgenstein. He's living from between 1889 and 1951. A very sharp man. A philosopher working primarily in logic, philosophy of mathematics, philosophy of the mind, and philosophy of language. And this is the part I want to emphasize the most on, is the language. Now, you hear the Republicans are silent on this issue, pretty much. If they do talk about it in the same sense as the Democrats, that diversity, by the way, the D word, diversity is a strength of America, they are very much wrong. I haven't heard anybody on the Republican side really say that or mimic that. If they had, they're just simply pandering to a base of people they want to vote for them, and they're not being serious about it. But the Democrats, I do believe, well, they voice it. They say it over and over again like a broken record. I do believe they think diversity is a stronghold of America. It is a killer. Diversity is a killer. It will kill your nation. You look at any country that's allowed diversity, people come in to bring their customs, their language, everything about them into the country. It dissolves the core of that country. That country goes in chaos, probably civil war. It is not a unified country. It is very much divided. Now, having lived in California, I can tell you, going downtown to San Francisco, you got Chinatown. You got a nice pocket there of diversity. These people hardly ever leave this area here. This is little China, man. This is Chinatown. You got little Japan. You got little Italy. You got down here in Florida, you got little Havana. You got pockets of people. This is your diversity that's killing your country, and they're bringing more people in. So, no, if we don't stop it, diversity will erase your language. It'll erase your culture. It'll erase your history. It will erase this country's identity. You will have no identity to speak of if we allow diversity as much as they've brought in. You know where I like diversity? I like diversity when I decide what kind of food I want. That's about it. Other than that, this is America. We have characteristics of America. We need to stand by those and stop saying, well, okay. You know, this little word called tolerance has allowed us to pretty much drop the ball on everything, to allow people come here and say, well, oh, okay, I don't want to be a bad guy. Go ahead, have your customs. have your TV stations, have everything you want in your own language. You can live in my country and don't worry about it. We'll even subsidize it, by the way. No, it's a killer. So Ludwig Wittgenstein talked about language. And this is a clip I want to play. It's 11 minutes long. So, Mike, let's cut that next break because I want to play this entire clip. This was a brilliant man, taught at Cambridge, a very brilliant man. We need minds like that today. Go ahead and play the clip.
Whereof one cannot speak, thereof one must be silent. This is probably one of the most quoted adages of all time, and it was written by this man, Ludwig Wittgenstein, a philosopher who by many is considered the greatest of the 20th century. His role in the development of analytic philosophy wasn't just central, but also pivotal, for he devoted his life in the examination of one of the most cognitively demanding areas of human interest, that of language. Language constitutes the most powerful tool we have invented in order to communicate with each other, express ourselves, and evolve our perception. But the essence of words and the use of language can be quite perplexing and can lead to anomalies in the way we operate within our social systems. Language is like a living organism. It changes, it evolves, it has different forms, and it can be interpreted in different ways. Wittgenstein was fascinated by that, and he truly believed that, with the use of logic, language can become more clear and more useful. This was his obsession, but also what tormented him throughout his life. His ideas possessed a gravity that felt unprecedented to almost all of his readers. Most didn't understand him, but the ones that did opened their minds to a world full of clarity and reason. Wittgenstein was born in 1889 in Vienna, Austria. His family was one of the richest in Europe, and he inherited a fortune after his father died in 1913. Money, however, wasn't of interest to him, and he gave away most of it to relatives and artists. Philosophy was, according to him, the only work that gave him real satisfaction. He went to Cambridge in 1911 to study logic with the great Bertrand Russell, who, after getting to know him, realized his genius. His life was quite tumultuous, since his involvement with logic almost drove him mad. His mental anguish led him away from Cambridge. He went to Norway for a while, and then he volunteered for the Austro-Hungarian army in the First World War. War changed him. He became more mystical and more ascetic, and this could be identified in his behavior. In 1918, he took military leave, and he completed his first important work, Tractatus Logico-Philosophicus. The Tractatus was published in 1922 in an attempt from Wittgenstein to present a solution to the problems of philosophy that are connected with language, thought, and representation. It is a short, mind-boggling, and mind-bending work. Very few have managed to understand it, and even Wittgenstein himself had trouble making sense of the purport of some of his statements later in his life. The way he writes is quite austere, in that he uses small sentences, but with great intensity. Some of them are almost incomprehensible for a reader not accustomed with the topic. The sense of a proposition is its agreement and disagreement with the possibilities of the existence and non-existence of the atomic facts. Empirical reality is limited by the totality of objects. The boundary appears again in the totality of elementary propositions. Others, however, ooze meaning and awe. Whereof one cannot speak, thereof one must be silent. We feel that even if all possible scientific questions be answered, the problems of life have still not been touched at all. Ethics and aesthetics are one. The main point that he wants to address is what can really be expressed through language and to what extent philosophical problems have a reason to exist. World, thought, and language are intertwined, and Wittgenstein manages to create a philosophical system that identifies how all three are connected. Through the use of logical propositions, he develops an advanced technical framework that investigates the limit of world, thought, and language. In other words, distinguishes between sense and nonsense. In a nutshell, he puts forth a heroic attempt to explain that the way we approach language is wrong, and that especially talking philosophy is bound to be a senseless procedure. Thoughts and utterances are true when they map onto the world. Saying, this is a pineapple on a table makes sense, it is a fact. But saying, this is a very pleasant pineapple is senseless, since this proposition is open to multiple interpretations. It is the use of the word in our way of life that gives meaning to our words and not how we feel inside about it. If a lion could speak, we wouldn't be able to understand it because we can't know what its world is like. Wittgenstein's point is to show that misunderstanding of how language works leads to pseudo-problems, and that most problems of philosophy are like that.
Are you saying there are no philosophical problems?
There are linguistic, mathematical, ethical, logistic, and religious problems, but there are no genuine philosophical problems.
You're trivializing philosophy.
Philosophy is just a byproduct of misunderstanding language.
I have searched a lot for a meaningful interpretation of Wittgenstein's words. In my regard, the philosopher provokes us in order to be more careful with the accurate use of language, since its senseless use can lead to many interpersonal and perceptual problems in our paradigms. Moreover, his last paragraphs illuminate a sense of nihilism, since he urges us to not take seriously any of his words. My propositions are elucidatory in this way. He who understands me finally recognizes them as senseless. When he has climbed out through them, on them, over them, he must, so to speak, throw away the ladder after he has climbed up on it. He must surmount these propositions, then he sees the world rightly. Whereof one cannot speak, thereof one must be silent. A great exegesis to that aphorism was one from the great Alan Watts, in which he suggests that the whole task of philosophy is to really get rid of itself.
The whole task of philosophy is really to get rid of itself. I mean, in rather the same way, the task of a doctor is to put himself out of business. Of course, he never succeeds because people keep getting sick. But if he was 100% successful, he'd lose all his patients because they wouldn't be ill anymore. And so in the same way, a philosopher of this kind is very rarely out of business because there are still always people with what we might call intellectual sicknesses, bothered by fantastic and non-existent problems.
The years passed and Wittgenstein changed. He abandoned philosophy for a while and he occupied himself with other activities, like teaching at an elementary school in rural Austria and designing the famous Wittgenstein house. None of this made him happy. He eventually returned to his original calling and started teaching philosophy in Cambridge in 1929. Abandoning philosophy for a while seemed to have had a huge impact on Wittgenstein, since most of his former views changed. A lot of people refer to the period before the change as early Wittgenstein period and to the one after as later Wittgenstein period. What marks the transition of the one period to the other is the total rejection of dogmatism. Wittgenstein himself referred to his early work as dogmatic and worked hard so that he could be better understood. The culmination of this change is reflected on his magnum opus, titled Philosophical Investigations. In it, he concerns himself with the concepts of meaning, understanding, propositions, logic, mathematics, states of consciousness, and other things. Still, language occupies a very central role in his adumbrations, but he abandoned the idea that language is used to describe a picture of the world. The relationship between language and the world is quite untidy. There are many different ways we can do with language, many different language games, as Wittgenstein liked to call them. The meaning of a word is relative to the language game that we play. The real task of the philosopher is to sort out these language games in a close analysis of the language in which it were posed.
Philosophical puzzles arise because we tend to mix up one language game with another. For example, people puzzle over the nature of something they call the soul. But this may just be because they're thinking of the soul along the lines of a physical object. They're confusing one way of talking with another.
The job of philosophy is to sort out these language games?
Exactly. Well, they're all perfectly in order as they are. Philosophy in no sense can question them. Philosophy leaves everything exactly as it is.
Every explanation is, after all, a hypothesis, posing grandiose philosophical questions, producing us a mental cramp. A philosopher cannot cure the cramp completely, but his or her role can definitely prove therapeutic. Wittgenstein died in 1951, and Philosophical Investigations was published posthumously. Before dying, he uttered, "Tell them I've had a wonderful life." His main issue and the one that agonized him the most was the importance of clarity in thought. Don't, for heaven's sake, be afraid of talking nonsense, but you must pay attention to your nonsense, as he used to say. There is a lot of mental dirt in this world, enough to disorient our already disoriented mind, and he viewed clarity as the only antidote. Despite his genius, he was doubtful of most of his ideas, and he states that explicitly in all of his works. He knew that what he wrote was difficult to understand, but what he actually wanted was to stimulate someone to thoughts of his own. Wittgenstein's work was a plea for reason, a plea for better communication, a plea for more clarity. Few could see that. After all, most of us find it hard to see what is right in front of our eyes. Hi everyone, I won't lie to you. Wittgenstein always constituted an enigmatic personality for me. When I first laid my hands on the Tractatus, I was shocked. I couldn't understand a single word, and I thought that he was probably an overrated philosopher. But then I delved deep into content produced about him, and when I finally managed to peer into his mind, his world mesmerized me. I consider language and its proper use one of the most critical issues of our time. Wittgenstein was obsessed with that, and even though his ideas are hard to grasp, when explained properly, can prove incredibly useful. Today's giveaway will be the legendary Philosophical Investigations. Since many of you don't have an Instagram account, we will experiment with different rules today. If you want to take part in the giveaway, please like this video, subscribe, get notifications, and comment.
That was a clip from Ludwig Wittgenstein. The limits of language, limits of my language are the limits of my world. And that really hit hard. When I keep hearing the politicians, mainly Democrats, talking about diversity being such a strength in this country, I know that's not the truth. It's not the truth at all. Diversity is the death of a country, and it will be the death of this country if we don't stop it. That's the whole purpose behind limited immigration, to make sure your country isn't swarmed with too much of one or the other. And I wanted to share that clip with you. I hope you enjoyed that. And again, the limits of my language are the limits of my world. Ludwig Wittgenstein. And you can find that on YouTube if you want to send that to some other people. We're going back to the phones here. Probably be my last caller. Ken in New York, you are on the show.
Are you talking to me, Ken from New York?
Yep, Ken in New York.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't. When I heard the beep, I didn't hear you talk.
Yep.
In that sense, I would say diversity is perversity. It's a nice rhyme I picked up from Savage a long time ago, and I used to listen to him more. I actually had another question, and it went back a little earlier. Was either you or Dr. Kelly? I say hello to Dr. Kelly if she's still there. And.
Oh, yeah.
And did you say something about treason earlier?
I covered it a couple of times on my show that it's
okay.
Two or more witnesses of the same overt act of treason is what it would take, you know, to charge with those crimes. But I don't think that I mentioned it today. But it's really interesting that I reread this article, and there is no mention of the El Dorado County Sheriff's Department being mentioned in this mass casualty drill. And so they're going to be on my facts list, too, because this just isn't a good thing. And, wow, that was a great...
I've had a couple minor arguments with people on what treason is, in that some people believe that it's simply making war against the United States. And when you look at all of these various, you know, foreign influences that are having their way with us, so to speak, Ralph Wernerod has brought up a couple cases that he found in the early 1800s that describes treason as making war upon the laws of the United States.
That's a good point. And
any comment? I mean, have you ever heard that? He has these cases. I don't remember them specifically, but he's talked about them more than once. So apparently the Supreme Court may have interpreted or clarified it. And I don't know whether it actually becomes law. I know case law is not really law, but it is you know, often followed.
You know, I was thinking about that. Ken, you said treason is making war on the laws of the country. I would think it would be just the opposite, making war on those who would not fulfill the law, the country's laws, or the Constitution. I think everybody agrees that the Constitution is there for a reason, and we need to live by it. But we're finding that we have a government that decides, well, selectively, or they'll reinterpret, there's new gray area, or they'll read into it that it really means this now, saying that it's not it's not a standing document. It's a living document, and a living document evolves and changes, which I do not believe.
I think
it is a standing document.
I'm not sure what the context was, but that's what I heard. I think if I can get a chance, I'll try to call Ralph up and ask him if he'll reiterate that again, because I heard him give a talk on it once, and he talked about, for example, if if people plot something, it doesn't actually become treason until they have a meeting and actually put it into effect. In other words, you can talk about it, you can, you know, complain about something, and that itself is not treason. It's when you actually, and I think he used the term rendezvous, actually having a meeting of different parties who will then put this into put it into motion, so to speak.
Yeah, that's an interesting point.
Well, then you might say that treason and conspiracy are synonymous then. You might say the same.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Two or more who decide to defraud or deceive, conspiracy or treason, I guess.
Oh, you know, you look at all of these foreign
influences. We're playing that language thing now. There you go.
What do you mean?
Well, he was talking about Ludwig was just talking about the language. The language are the limits of our world.
Very interesting, but it takes me a while to digest stuff. Sometimes I have to listen to it 2 or 3 times. Sorry.
Yeah, Matt brought up an interesting point, too. One of the listeners had mentioned these secret meetings, and those are what are called serial, S-E-R-I-A-L, serial meetings, when they're done by a quorum of the actual body or board or commission. You know, if they're having secret meetings, like somebody meets in secret with the attorney general of the state that's part of a planning commission, or, you know, 2 or more. And that was actually in this Tahoe Daily Tribune newspaper as well. Sometime either in the last year or two, there have been some really interesting stories popping up, but you have to dig pressure, you know, to get this information out. And so thank you so much again, Steve.
Oh, thank you. I hear the music. Good night.
Yep. Thank you, Ken, for your question. Dr. Kelly, thank you for riding shotgun for a good portion of the show today. I appreciate that. Some interesting things we learned. And Mike did post something on the web page there about that mass casualty. And we'll definitely get that out there, make sure we read that and understand more what's going on. Any other things later on, please call in more, Dr. Kelly. Yeah, it's great information there. I'll be back on Sunday, maybe even Thursday. I'm not sure yet. John's going to have Thursday and Vinny have Thursday. But if not, I'll be back on my regular showtime Sunday, Off the Beaten Path, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. John should be back in the chair tomorrow. I hope he is. Health, happiness, and safe travels. We'll talk again.
Views for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Ann, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.